Okay, everyone. I'll try to put some of the recordings, today's recording, past recordings online. I think only the very first one is actually online. So, I'll write a note and enter mine myself. But I'm Carl, and I'm the leader of the Quorum Observers. Generally, these meetings are for organizational purposes and to maybe get feedback from people when they call in about the judges and maybe suggestions that people have. So that's really the purpose of this meeting. For this week, or technically last week, there were two Quorum Observer cases. One Quorum Observer case was for, and I'm just going to pull it up now so I don't get the names wrong. I'm sorry, it's going to take me a minute.
I can help you. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
One is Elena Strujan versus State Farm Insurance. And I would like to inform everyone what was. First, I want to say thank you to Sarah and Artur because they came with me. And Sarah had a very bad experience because she tried to take some pictures before the judge arrived, and the security came and took her off, called for superiors, and she didn't have any access to come during the trial. At a point, the chief of security came to me and say, Miss, your friend cannot come in courtroom. I say, my friend is a representative from National Liberty Alliance and this court observator, and please leave her to come back in the courtroom. He said, yes, she came, she can come, only if she doesn't record anything. I say, she has a right because I had the paper with the protocol for court observator, and I say you have two examples here at number 6 and 7, where say the United States Constitution allow the people to record, and he went out from the courtroom and. Still didn't gave to Sarah permission to come on the court. I left the courtroom and I talked with the security and I say, it's not correct what you do. You did a huge mess, a huge tragedy, and it's not fair, it's not correct. Anyway, Sarah cannot come back in the courtroom. And when the judge came, my first words was to mention that Sarah was sent by National Liberty as court observator was not correct, and I say to the reporter to take to be for the record that United States Constitution allow the people to record, and is a protection. And I explained to judge I have many experiences when the court deposition was falsified, name change, words change, content change. And also I mentioned to the judge, I'm sorry, here is not a court of record. Last time I gave you the New York State Constitution and the United States Constitution, and nowhere say I cannot pursue this case under common law jurisdiction. A judge got a little upset, and he said he had to follow the rules under New York, under civil law, and Finally, I don't have yet a decision, but deny my motion where I required to compare with Discovery, because State Farm Insurance wrote a thousand checks with thousands of dollars and in my name with forgery, also make to disappear motions from the court file, from my file, and I brought with me two big books with appendix, which State Farm used in Appellate Division First Department, where they lost the appeal. And I say, Judge, how this trial can be in normal condition, since they falsify inclusive the truth for Appellate Division First Department. I have here with me their work, their appendix. I would like them to show me what is a motion to compel, what is a motion for protection, what is the replies, what is, and the judge didn't take in consideration, and he said me, if I consider they did fraud and they stole, even the judge knew exactly, because I received a letter from the court that was missing documents, to write to district attorney regarding this case. About, and he suggests me, if I want to pursue under common law, to withdraw the case from the Supreme Court and to go in another court.
Okay, that's very interesting that he even said to do that.
Yes.
Very interesting. So, yeah, so
and
he
I
said
say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I say, Judge, I'm sorry, New York State, and I citate the paragraph, say the New York Supreme Court is a court of record. Here is, and I gave to him, and he didn't, actually, each one receive the State Farm, and before in September, receive a copy of New York State Constitution. And at the end, the reporter asked me to give the paper with two cases which I received from National Liberty regarding the protocol for court observator, to put the example where I say the New York State Constitution allow to record the trial, and also asked me to give where New York State say is a court of record. This is all.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the criminal or civil court in New York?
It's civil. It's civil.
Yeah, because I know you pointed to him the Constitution. I know New York Judicial Law Article 2, Section 2 actually also states as well that the civil court of the city of New York is a court of record. So,
correct, yeah.
Yeah. So that technically is a court of record. But that's very interesting that he said that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for
I will, when the deposition will be done, I will copy the pages where he said like this.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was that other person actually in the courtroom with you or able to attend?
Yes, it was Mr. Arthur. He was for first time court observator. He saw everything, what I said, what I showed to judge, because I say last in September, State Farm pretend. Sorry. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Pretended they sent me a letter where I say the representative of State Farm cannot be in the court, because the judge say a representative to be all the time during the trial in court. And after trial, the judge asked me in September if I accept to continue the case without State Farm representatives. And I say yes, what I could can do. And after, I sent two emails and a letter to State Farm Insurance to send me a copy of that letter, their letter, and proof of service. And didn't have proof of service and didn't send me. But the judge say, conform, I don't know which separate rule, State Farm is not obligated to send me proof of service.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all very interesting. Thank you for telling us that.
You're welcome.
And I think the one thing though I did actually want to say is if they say no recorders and that's the only way that you're going to get into the courtroom is just by, you know, pen and paper, then we're trying to write affidavits for these cases. So in the future, if they say, hey, we're not going to allow you, if they say in the future, hey, we're not going to allow you in with a recorder, and they give you a hard time about it, then what I would do is say, okay, we won't record, but just remember that those people take a pen and paper with them in there, and then just can write, so they can write an affidavit with for us. So just going to in the future, like if they're really adamant about that,
it's very good, because exactly what Mr. Jones said, they are not educated. They do not know. They do not know. I show to the security. I say, read from here. This is a protocol. Here is two cases where they said we can record, but they couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Actually, State Farm Insurance from the beginning want to do a settlement with me, and want to inform the district attorney and attorney general or for their illegal acts, because it's too much. I refuse to accept thousands of dollars in my name, money which I didn't see. I say, Judge, what is the receipt in support of this thousand of dollars? I want to know. And actually, this the motion was to compel with discovery and for sanctions. And I required also sanctions for the clerk because doesn't file my papers. Anything. And he said to ask sanction for the clerk before I have to write a notice to the clerk to inform him. I did all notices, but I have to see the deposition. For deposition.
Okay.
The transcript. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you very much for helping me with two people, and I feel sorry for Sarah because she was so embarrassed unlawfully.
Oh well, I'm sure everything worked out all right. So you know, thank you again, and I'm wondering if Paul's on, Gonzalez, if he's on, he can talk a couple minutes about what's going on with him, because I had sent out an email yesterday about his particular case. Or if not, Laura, are there a couple cases coming up this week that we need to talk about?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, no problem.
Okay, let me pull it up here.
Yeah, because I know there were a couple cases coming up.
I sent out Janie Sanders. She's incarcerated, and her mother, Denise, is in Missouri. So I sent out her thing on Monday. remind people to go and to call Denise to confirm they will be there. But she's also saying he had a lot of notes down here. Let's see. You know, she says no victim, no crime. It has to do with possession of a controlled substance. I guess it's just marijuana.
Okay.
So, common law court of record defense for multiple violations of Janie Sanders. Unalienable right of due process have been denied in 5 respondents. Re-ignoring the writ of habeas corpus has been filed and defaulted on by all 5 respondents and is currently in resistance stage. They have also changed the case number, location, judge, and also added, oh yeah, trumped up puppet grand jury indictment as they are proceeding forward with the case without proper written proof of jurisdiction and are about to trespass on the case and commit treason by doing so. So what they had was originally her case was going to be on like the 8th or the 7th or something, and they changed it to the 4th all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And the points of the case, there are no injured parties, multiple inalienable rights of due process being violated by said court. All court information, if you request members to make phone calls on court date, call Sheriff Carrick. And that's in, but I only, you know, I just sent this to Missouri residents. So you can, put, I would put her a call to action, you know, on that page because she has a pretty good detailed people to call and numbers and what to ask for.
Okay.
And her case is on the 4th. So that would be good to get that out to the whole United States instead of just Missouri.
Okay. That's great. Thank you, Laura. I'll get that one out. And then I know there's another one coming up pretty soon as well, in early January. So I'll get that one up as soon as I can. And
yeah,
so we'll focus on... Yeah, we'll focus on those two cases.
Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas. No, well, Nicholas's case isn't his case in February. It looks like it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that mixed up. You're right. I think I mixed... Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So the next one...
Yeah, there's another one.
There is? I don't see that one.
Well, there was the Anthony Williams one, I think, where...
Well, he hasn't... I talked to Barbara right before the Monday night call, and she said she was going to send in another Courtroom Observer request because we don't have the information we need for that one right now.
Okay. Okay,
so I'll call her again.
Okay, great. Thank you. Was anybody able to call in today for the for Paul's case?
But I didn't receive any the email to call somewhere.
Yeah. I made a mistake and I sent an empty email. I don't know what happened to it, but I sent another email out asking people to call in to the judge, and I was wondering if anybody did receive that email and do that. I had email issues last night, so that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a good idea to send an affidavit to inform all courts or judges about the First Amendment to leave us to record.
Okay. So you're saying put that information up on the Courtroom Observer?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's at 6 or 7. 6-7. Laura
Okay.
sent an email. It is very good. Because
Okay.
when I showed to the security, and they read, and the chief of security, they became mute.
Yeah, that's good. So, what I'll do is I can put up something about the right to record within the court on our protocol page. And
perfect.
Maybe,
perfect.
Yeah, and that could help people out. So let me.
Definitely is very good.
Okay.
Because
and what we'll,
if you need, I can give you an example with deposition falsify. My name change with somebody else's name and change a lot.
Okay, that'd be good.
Yeah.
So,
but on my opinion, I believe they doesn't like to have observators in courtroom, but doesn't say anything except they took off Sarah because she took some pictures. She didn't record anything. Well, I took a picture where wrote "In God We Trust."
Yeah, I mean they're just really afraid of anybody exposing their crimes. So, you know, a picture or something really freaks them out. So, you know, what you have to really try to, if you can, maybe. Not make it as obvious if it is possible to bring something into record. And go about doing that. Or we can, and this is the thing again, I'll just maybe write something up that points out people's right to record. So if, you know, they can't right away, they can go to this page and maybe use the information on there to convince someone that they have the right to record. So,
excellent idea.
Well, because we have to remember that we're really in the education phase. Big time.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. And I think that's why it's good that, you know, we have these talks like this to get feedback about what's going on and how things did go. And I think in the future... you know, I've been a little bit crazy and busy. I know Laura has been too, during this Christmas season. So, and I've been working, a little bit trying to get this Constitution course up. So, you know, once those things maybe die down, you know, I'm going to try to get the information out, at least on the website a little bit sooner so people will have more time. And that will hopefully make things even a little bit more organized, and I'll put up more things as we learn and as we talk. So, with that all in mind, is there anything else that I may be missing or anything else people would like to address right now?
Question, Jan from New Haven.
Sure.
My court has a court order that no recorders in the courtroom, so if it's a court order by the judge, that's what it is, but I know what you're saying.
Right. I
this
mean,
is
if
what
you can...
the Constitution is, but they're blowing that off. They'll say, "I don't care. This is my courtroom."
Yeah. Well, that's what you have to do. If you can, if there is a court order not to do that, be safe and careful. And I would elect against doing that. And just use your pen and paper to create an affidavit about what's going on. I mean, that's just as powerful. It should be within the law as a video or a actual
They will lock
audio.
You up. They will lock you up. Contempt of court. I had one gentleman in the federal court. All he was doing there is taking notes, pen and paper, and they locked him up for a month.
Really?
Court observer, David Syed. He's an NLA member in the federal district court. He was sitting there taking notes for someone. Judge seen him a lot of times in the courtroom. pinned them out, locked them up.
Oh, wow. That's I haven't actually heard of that before.
Yeah.
So they would actually arrest you for taking notes within the actual court? So
he did.
Are you allowed to take notes within the court?
I'm just saying what happened. All the man was doing, he's a regular court observer, and plus he had regular time in court. He had cases, and he had was helping people and so forth. And he was sitting there taking notes as a court observer, and judge pointed him out. Bailiff grabbed him, threw him in slammer, 28 days or 30 days.
Is he still there?
No, they let him out, and he's pursuing a court case for violating his rights and stuff, and he's putting together beautiful papers and stuff, and they're just blowing him off and calling him a paper terrorist.
Okay. What court case did he actually get arrested on? Like, was it for you or was it for a friend or him?
It was for someone.
Okay. I was just wondering. So
Gerard knows about it quite well.
Yeah. So if that's the case, more than likely, if you're the first time there, they're not going to do that. But like you said, if maybe they see you there a lot, be a little bit more careful. And if that's the case, maybe if you're there quite often, maybe just try to take the memory of it. And as you go into the car and drive off, you know, pull over somewhere or go home and then just write away. And
it's very,
that way.
Carly, it's very hard to write everything what the attorney say, what the judge say, because you have to, in the meantime, you have to listen what they say. It's not easy.
Absolutely. And I know. But what I'm just saying is, if that is a case where you're there quite often, and I don't think that would really be 99% of people. I mean, you have to really be there, like, for almost every court date for, you know, one particular person. But if you're there for the first time, or if you're there every so often, I highly doubt they're going to just throw you in the slammers like that.
That's where we're headed.
I know, but I'm just saying that if that is the case, then be careful, and the best thing you could do is do it afterwards. But I would just say for most people, just pen and paper should be okay. So I'll leave it at that. But thank you for that notification. I didn't actually know anything about that.
I just sent you a link that for David Scheid when he was put in jail for that. Everything is on there, what happened, how it went down, and so on and so forth. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I sent it to you too, Jan.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's definitely good, so we can maybe learn from that and figure out a strategy around that. Anybody else have any comments, concerns, questions?
Yeah, I do. I'm still concerned about that, what we were just talking about, because my understanding was if somebody from NLA got in trouble like that, that we would actually take it on right away and get them out.
Right.
Yes.
And we definitely would help them out. But I think this one in particular, you know, was this guy an NLA member?
Yep.
He was?
Yep.
Okay.
He was and is, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Uh-huh.
And he's very good with his paperwork. His paperwork is pristine.
Okay. And was the Hebe,
Well, this was long before. I'm trying to think of what the date is. The date is on here, 2012. So it's before the NLA.
Yes, this is before the NLA, but we would...
Yes, but you can learn from it, definitely, the way he has it written up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I will say if the same thing happened today, I would make sure that this would be a top priority for John to get this particular person out. And whatever their court date was, we would do a big shout out. We would get you out. So I don't want people to worry to think that we're going to abandon them. Because if you are a courtroom observer and I hear about it, I will make it a big deal. So I just don't want people to be afraid of that we're going to abandon them. Because we're not.
Yeah, I know. It's much different now than it was back then. And on here, I also posted the affidavit for court watchers and some of the things that were going around at that time, as far as, you know, what kind of infractions to look for in the courtroom and so on and so forth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
It's good to also. My suggestion is to do something like official. From national liberty to all courts, to allow to the court observator, inclusive to plaintiff defendant, to record. Because if it's in Constitution, it's in First Amendment, I don't know why they do that doesn't respect. The judge doesn't respect.
Well, it's all about making money, unfortunately, for some of them. And for some of them, it's just keeping their system up because they're petrified of being exposed for something. Even if it is, even if they themselves are not the most corrupt officials, it's about keeping their system up and, you know, feeling like what they're doing is right. Because unfortunately, for a lot of them, I think this is a case for quite a few. You know, they don't want to realize that their whole life was living a fraud. And, you know, for them, it's almost like they're conditioned to believe what they're doing is actually real and actually the, you know, the law. So I think that's why they really shove you off, in my opinion. But a lot of it, too, could also be corruption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any other comments, concerns, questions?
For example, the judge in my case with State Farm Insurance say, if you want somebody want a copy of court report, have to pay to report. So I cannot go to take my file and to make some copies from deposition. I have to pay to reporter to give me sometimes it's $300, $400 to pay to have a copy of court deposition.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be because you can't charge a fee for you know, using your rights. So that's definitely a crime in itself. But unfortunately, we are here where we are today, and we have to really just hopefully shine the truth on them that we're doing is really in good faith and honor, and we're trying to be very merciful and trying to bring justice back. So, you know, we can at our level, we can only do what we can do just by going there, just by showing ourselves, and then after that. You know, it's going to be up to people to listen to the paperwork and enforce the law from the sheriff. So we're coming to a point very soon. I don't know when. It could be days. It could still even be months where we're going to tell someone that or there may be a possible indictment coming that someone will need to enforce. And if they don't enforce it, they themselves become part of the crime. So that is definitely something we need to think about as we go forward, that we really need people to be more active. We need people to be to these different court cases because we're going to use these affidavits and use these things in order to present to indict these people. So that is... that is why it's so critical that people be careful, but at the same time can get as much information as they can to some of these to us for a possible indictment.
Carl, where is that information they used to have posted for the courtroom observer people?
Which information was that in particular?
The courtroom observer people, like that you need to call the sheriff, you need to call the...
Oh, it should be under support and call to action.
Oh, it's not under committees? Not committees, courtroom observers?
You know, I can put it under both places.
It's good to put as a phone number.
Because I would think it would be under the committees, under the courtroom observer section, because that's what it is.
Yeah, I'll do that now. I'll put it under both. So.
So call to action is under which?
The call to action is under support.
Under support, but committee, it should be under committees. But you're putting that over there, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that right now, so I don't forget.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, good. So, Elena, does she need us to do any calls? Because that's December 24th.
Thank you. I don't know when the case will be scheduled for a trial. Maybe it's possible to have a pre-conference. I don't know. I will inform you when I will have the next calendar date. Next week, after New Year Eve, I will go to see the judge decision and to speak with the reporter, because I want to have a copy of transcript. I don't know how long take, usually 3 weeks, because I have the situation in this case with State Farm Insurance, when the reporter, the transcriber falsified the court deposition, and he accepted, yes, I was wrong. Sorry, I will correct. I don't know if he didn't correct, because I arrived as the chief of court reporters, and they say, we don't know, we cannot correct a deposition in the Supreme Court. And it was absolutely total alterate deposition.
So how did you catch them in that lie? Because they had the deposition, they have the transcript. You had some court recorders that wrote something different?
No. I say, it's not my words. I read the deposition, I saw, and I called him, and I say, sir, it's not my words. Oh, just a second, because when I wrote, I record also. And he checked, and he said, yes, it's my mistake. I'm sorry. I will correct. And we change. I have the emails changed with him, and he corrected something, and I don't know if he corrected also the court deposition. He sent me an email. Yes, I corrected something. It's not first time. It's many times I have the situation when the court deposition is falsified, modified.
And the judge won't dismiss the case because of that? Or you're suing them?
I sue them, and they still continue the case. But it's not an... I have a situation when the entire trial, the judge, the reporter say, when the judge talks, say, inaudible. So everything was the judge, I can produce you this evidence, is inaudible. So I don't have record. So how I can explain, if I will appeal the decision, what the judge said? Because the entire deposition is the court, inaudible.
Inaudible, meaning you can't understand it.
Mm-hmm. The transcriber wrote inaudible.
Yeah.
Inaudible.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you tell him, then I need to have my own recording device.
But I don't have, because you are not allowed to have.
Well, theirs is inaudible. You need to have a recording device that is audible. So they have defective equipment.
Yeah, defective equipment. You cannot appeal because with that kind of deposition.
Elena, yes. The word is probably better, defective, selective audio equipment. Selective audio equipment.
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry. I want to write this down because...
defective. Judge, they have defective, selective audio equipment.
Exactly. Defective.
So I want to have my own reliable equipment.
So defective, selective?
Defective, selective audio equipment.
Very correct. Because
they pick and choose what they want to be on record and what they want to be off record by claiming that it's inaudible.
Correct, yeah. For example...
So say, Judge, that's criminal. Judge, criminal. That's fraud.
Yeah, and dismiss the case.
Right. It's fraud upon the court. Dismiss the case in my favor.
Yeah, dismiss the case, not in my favor. But the reporter hear very well what I said, doesn't transcribe everything, doesn't hear the lawyer who came and... fabricate cases, fabricate the law for the law for the lawyer. Say the rest of a person inaudible, totally inaudible. So what the defendant lawyer said cannot be heard at all. A judge say in inaudible. Yeah. And entire deposition is compromised.
It's compromised, yes.
Of course. And to pay $400 to appeal, what can say? Go back on inferior court because this is not a deposition. And first time when I apply to have a copy of the court transcript, the chief clerk told me, oh, no, we don't have. The trial, I say, no, it is. And I didn't complain. And after they told me, okay, you can apply to have a copy of deposition. The copy came with very, very falsified. And I spoke with the transcriber, and they stole my copy. And they did something else. It's unbelievable. Carl, if you can do something, please fight each one. Doesn't matter if it's plaintiff, defendant, court next friend, court observer, to have the possibility to record. Otherwise, you are
Elena,
very vulnerable.
You can hire your own court recorder, your own transcriber. You can hire your own.
Unfortunately, I'm not rich.
Yeah,
it's around $5 by page. Yes. I cannot afford at this time. And I was also very surprised because State Farm Insurance on December 24th say, I would like to talk with you, Mr. Jean, about settlement, but nobody have to be present. I say, why? You know, they, no, only. And in the meantime, start the problem with Sarah and...
But in your own deposition, the deposition that they were recording, you couldn't have your own recorder in that setting?
At all, no. You don't have... Even you don't have... you are not allowed to use a cell phone to record. Because to go in court, you have to declare if you have something, a device, digital recorder or something, and you have to leave at security. And if you try to record, if your cell phone is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair. Not fair. I explain. I hope it's on record. Judge, each one who came here is like Daniel and the Cage of Leon. You don't have any proof for what you said. Because the reporter... write whatever they want. I have a situation where 4 minutes was not transcript. Situation when the court told me, bring your copy from home because our original is stolen from the court.
Oh, they said that?
Oh, I swear. I can... exactly.
Don't swear, just affirm.
Yeah.
Affirm, yeah. And State Farm Insurance prepares the brief and the appendix for Appellate Division, First Department, and make an affirmation under what. I did this appendix conform with the original, which I found in the court. And in the court, me personally, with the chief clerk, we looked, and we didn't find three motions, the defendant affirmation and opposition, my replies. And if you go right now to see my case from the beginning until now, it's impossible. It's not a history, well, constant history, but on the door right, sorry for because we work at computer and we don't have all the evidence. And me, if I ask, give me the file with State Farm Insurance, they gave me a portion. I say, must to be more. Let's look and bring me another.
But Elena, they do not only a transcript recording, they also do a video recording and audio recording. So you can, well, you'd have to pay for those.
I believe they doesn't do in Supreme and the Supreme Court doesn't do video recorder.
No video and no audio.
No, and some reporters told me even they do not do audio. Even I don't trust because usually when I spoke with the reporter from State Farm Insurance 2 years ago, and I say, sir, this is not my words. What you do did? And he say, oh, I will listen my audio. And he say, yes, sorry, it's a mistake. I will fix. I will.
So, Cara, how do you fix something like this? They won't let you catch them any which way. Just affidavits.
Yeah, I mean, just affidavits hold on, and we're going to try our best to help you and help people out in this sort of situation. I mean, the good thing about your situation is, at the very least, no one's currently in jail for it. So, I mean, that's a positive side to it. But, you know, we really, right now, we're going to... all we can do at this point is just record, and then I think over the next few days, in a few weeks, we're going to start to have some real solid and concrete action with people who are doing this sort of thing.
So, Elena, you're the plaintiff or you're the defendant?
No, I'm the plaintiff.
You're the plaintiff.
I'm the plaintiff. For everybody, one question. Why they do not allow to record?
Evidence.
Evidence. If it's is correct, why they are afraid? What
they don't want
do?
Evidence. If they make a mistake, there's evidence.
No, because absolutely, and also the court reporter is very vulnerable. Not vulnerable. Very corrupt. Very corrupt. From my experience. And I take responsibility for each word which I say tonight. If any court reporter say I didn't tell the truth, I support consequence if I didn't tell the truth. It's unbelievable. For example, I say in my case for personal injury with carbon monoxide, they filed, the defendants filed 5 motions with forgery, a phantom motion. And the reporter say 50 motions, phantom 50 motions. I say blood test for carbon monoxide, wrote block test for carbon monoxide. And many.
And this is in a district court, or this is in federal court?
This is in the
Supreme Court. Supreme
yeah.
Court.
Higher yet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
corruption all the way. Corruption all the way up.
Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere.
If they are correct, what you can do? You
corrupt.
Came. You know, but if you came with your digital recorder, your evidence, you can say yes, it's not true. How I can say now what the judge say where is not here or no? It's unbelievable. And I don't know I don't know which each state or each court what kind of argument they have do not record.
The civil courts also has no recording and electronic filing also. But you know, like David Shiat's case, like I said, his current case is pristine. It is beautiful. And they blow them off, paper terrorist. They use their statutes, their laws, and they just blow it all off. But if David is going to make a mistake, they're going to lock him up forever and ever. If they catch him make a mistake, they're going to hang him. But he uses their laws to hang them, and they just blow it off like he didn't even present anything.
Sir, was the New York Post an article about a court reporter who came drunk falsifies the entire deposition, court deposition, and many people arrive in jail. And he was fired, but how many people pay with pain because that drunk, addicted to alcohol, transcriber falsifies the deposition? Not falsify like a corrupt person, like an alcoholic. And you are innocent and you lose the case because the transcriber is corrupt or negligent. We have to do something for this.
Well, the judges are... of what I've been finding out is it's very hard to judges immune. They can do whatever they want to do. That's why this judge in Michigan, there was this young he was a preacher at one time. He was passing out little flyers educating jurors about jury nullification, and they basically had him come into court. They grabbed him and are looking to lock him up for 5 or 10 years and $150,000 fine.
Yeah, I mean
freedom
those
of
things
speech.
Are, yeah, I mean those things are all very unfortunate, and I think again with our next steps, we're looking to enforce some of the things that we've already put out there. So
it's very important.
It's very important. Yeah, I know. It's very important, and that's really where we need right now. We need somebody to enforce it, because honestly, once one of them enforces the law, sheriff or marshal, the whole system is going to fall on top of itself, and it's going to do so very quickly. So, we just have to hold steady now, just continue what we're doing, really learn. And, just have people observe what's going on, because then that gives us more people to go after when the time is ready to do the enforcement. So it's almost about time to end. So I'll just close it off and state that we will have a meeting next Wednesday, roughly at the same time again. I wish everybody a Happy New Year, and I will put the information up for the new court cases that are coming up next week, hopefully by this weekend.
So, Carl, are we supposed to call this Paul Gonzalez's number for his hearing on the 30th?
The 30th is today. So.
Well, today's the 30th, so we're up late on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we have information on what happened?
No, I do not have information on that. So I'll try to get information on that, too, and maybe get Paul on next time to talk about it.
Maud is going to have her court thing on Monday. We don't have anything posted for her.
Oh, okay. I'll put her stuff on then. That's good to know. Thank you, Jan. So,
Maud, yeah.
Yep.
Mabel's on there, but that's old information on the 18th.
Yeah, so I'll put Maud's stuff on there. And
Ron Paulson went bankrupt. He filed bankrupt, so you got an extra 30 days to be able to work on his case.
I know with him. At that point, that was probably the only option he had. So, we'll add his stuff on too. So I'll try to get Maud and Ron's stuff, and then I'll put the stuff for the person this week that we were talking about before. So with that in mind, I'm going to end the call. And thank
you.
This is Jan. Oh, hey, Jan. How are you?
Yeah. We were just talking with John and the group, and he'd like to get the newsletter out by Friday night. So if you could get those posted by Friday noon so I could get them included in the newsletter, it'd be great.
Okay, that'd be great. I'll do that.
Great,
thanks. You, Jen.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yep. And, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
And hopefully this will be the year where we set great. So with that, goodbye, and I'll see you again next Wednesday.